Tonight I want to show you the biblical truth of this in the last minutes we have. Let's all stand. Let's read Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. I'll give you a chance to stretch. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. I'll read the first verse. You'd read verse 23 with me, and then I'll read verse 24 alone. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We'll read 23 together. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's go back to verse 22 again. Let's read this verse together. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to... What kind of lust does he have?
Deceitful.
Okay, you can be seated. Thank you. And so let me show you what the Bible says about this. If you really want to change, if you're like, you know what, I really want to see a change in my life, it starts, there's a three-step process, and it starts with, I got to put off the old man, I got to have a new mind, verse 23, and I got to put on the new man. But you can't put on the new man nor renew your mind if you don't put off the old man. And so you have people like, I want to read the Bible, I want to go to church, and they still got all this old stuff in their life. Well, I can't get my mind renewed when my mind is in this gutter. I can't put on the new man when I'm wearing the old man. And so I'm wearing mixed clothing, and I need to put off some stuff. So who is the old man? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible tells us the old man is the flesh. The old man is the flesh. Romans 6:6. Listen to how God defines the old man in Romans 6:6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of what? God calls our body, the body of sin, might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. And what does this old man look like? Well, let me just give you some things the Bible says here in Ephesians 4, verse 17. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth or from now on do not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity or the emptiness of their mind, having their understanding, their mind darkened, being alienated, separated from God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And here's what they begin to do because of that inward darkness. Verse 19, their past feeling, they've given themselves over to, that word lascivious means out of control lust. Out of control lust. If you think sin is rampant in America, if you went back to Ephesus, they had in the city where this church is written to, the goddess Diana, she was a sex goddess. I don't even want to describe how they figured her as just vile. They had temple prostitutes. You sleep with the temple prostitute, you're sleeping with the goddess. Literally, their religion was built on drinking, getting intoxicated, and having sex. That was their religion of the city. That was the city's religion. Like, and then in Rome, God Bacchus was the god of wine, and they would have drunken, just vile orgies and sexual sin. They believed that drinking, drugging, and sex was how you communed with the gods. That's why Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, or Ephesians 5, he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So the old man, verse 17, has a godless walk. He says, don't walk as other Gentiles. They have a godless mind. Their mind's darkened. He said their past feeling. They have unrestrained lust. Just to point some things out, in verse number 19, it talks about the old man is greedy. Verse 25 of Ephesians 4 says he's a liar. Verse 26 tells us he's angry. Verse 28 says he's a thief. Verse 29 says he's a filthy communicator. And verse 31 and 2 says he won't forgive anybody. This is what the old man does. Paul says in Galatians 5, God says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. If you want to know what the flesh looks like, he says it commits adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. And all of those are sexual sins. And then he says idolatry, witchcraft, which is drug use and communing with pagan deities, hatred, variance, strife, drunkenness, and all of that. People today say drunkenness, alcoholism is a disease. It's not a disease. It is a sin. It's not a disease. And the reason people say it's a disease is because they don't the world doesn't believe in sin. The secular world doesn't believe in sin. And you say, well, it modifies the brain. I know what neurologists say about it. They say that when you begin to form any habit in your life, it doesn't matter what the habit is, your brain modifies to that habit. But just as if you stop that habit and do something else, your brain modifies back to whatever that other habit is. It changes all the time. That's why the Bible says, be renewed in your minds. I got to put off the old, got to change my mind. And listen, it's not a disease you'll be in bondage to your whole life. Jesus can set you free from this stuff. There are things that I was in bondage to as a young guy that I'm not in bondage to anymore. I'm not in bondage. I could go back to that. It doesn't mean we could never go back and fall in the pit, amen? We got to keep our guard on. We got to keep accountability. We got to keep pursuing the right stuff. But I'm not a slave to that anymore. Does that make sense? I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm not a slave to sin. And so God sets us free from some of those, from those things. Why is it important to recognize the sins of the old man? Here's why. If you don't recognize them, you won't put them off. Also, if I defend it, I won't put it off. Does that make sense? So if I got some things in my life that are wrong, but I'm like, I don't think it's wrong, but then that's why you need another godly person in your life that says, no, it really is. It's not good. It's not good, man. You know, you begin to live a certain way for 10, 15, 20 years, your conscience gets messed up. You can think things are okay that are not okay. People say, oh, it ain't no big deal to lie to that person. There ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't no big deal to steal a little bit of that. There ain't no. Yeah, it is. And so have you ever thought something was okay until you found out God said it's not? And so the old man will sell you on his sins, and you got to realize he's a deceiver. It's deceitful lust. So why do I need to put him off? You cannot live in the new man without putting off the old man. That's what step six is really about. I gotta say, I'm ready and willing to remove this from my life because I can't move forward with all this stuff still hanging on me. I may have admitted it. I may have said, God, forgive me of this. But I'm saying I need to repent. I need to give it up. I don't want it in my life anymore. And so this is really what separates faithful Christians from unfaithful Christians. You ever wonder why some people can live faithfully and some don't? The difference is what they're willing to give up. And I'm going to tell you, you want some joy in your life, give something up for God. Show me the person making sacrifice for God, and I'll show you a joy-filled Christian. Show me the person living for themselves, and they're as miserable as a teenager. You ever wonder why teenagers are miserable? Because they're focused on number one, baby. Like, what do you call them? I everything, right? Unfaithfulness to God usually happens when people are faithful to sin. Many Christians start off right, but because they never give up sin, they always give up on the Savior. Either I serve my sin or I serve the Lord. And so there is one word that defines the reason why Christians stop serving God, and it's sin. And listen, it doesn't mean that everybody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. But, and I've said this before, it's not the perfection of our life, but it's the direction of our life. It's that, God, I am moving in that direction. So how do I put him off? How do I put this off? Romans 6:6, look what he says. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with who? Our old man, our sinful nature was crucified with Christ. Do you realize when Jesus died on the cross, our old man was crucified on the cross in Christ? That the body of sin might be what? Destroyed. That henceforth we should not what? Serve sin. Now look at verse 7. Read it with me. For he that is dead is free from sin. Listen, you know when we're going to be free from sin? When we are dead. So one benefit of dying is we're like, it's over. Yes. I can't mess up if I want to. You know, you'll never have to give up anything after you die. But the Bible says this. But the Bible doesn't say you have to wait till you die to find freedom. It says that you need to right now. The Bible speaks of reckoning ourselves to be dead to sin. Give you an example. About 16 years ago. Oh yeah, baby. This beautiful blonde-haired babe said yes to me in front of hundreds of people, and I was like, yes. And you know, when I said yes to her, you know who I said no to? Everybody else. Everybody else became unavailable. I became D-E-A-D to other females. And if I didn't become dead to them, she would make sure I was dead, right? So, amen. Look how happy these women are about this. They're like, kill him, you know. But when you get married, you say yes to one, so you say no to everybody else. And when we come to Christ, when we say yes to Christ, who do we say no to? We say no to sin, don't we? Sin, I'm done with you. And you know what? Sin comes along and says, starts flirting with us. Starts giving us some good drop lines. Starts tempting us. You know what? When we sin, we say, Jesus. Does that sound, you know, that may sound offensive to somebody. It should offend us a whole lot more when we sin against Jesus. Now, I know I didn't dent the ring. I might get in trouble for that. But that's what we do. And I hope that reminds us the next time we get tempted to say, you know what? For me to pick up sin, I got to take this ring off and I become very unfaithful to my Lord. You know, the Bible talks about sin as being committing adultery on God. It's a sinful thing. Now, the word here, destroyed, it says that the body of sin might be destroyed. It means that it would be rendered idle, unemployed, that we literally reckon it dead, that it's put off. And when you're dead to that stuff, it's no more. You know, I used to have, growing up, you have different girlfriends, girls that you're attracted to and things. But once you get married, man, you just put that off. You begin to deny yourself that stuff. And I tell you, some people are in bondage to that because they allow their eyes and mind to have free reign. Amen? And so I'm telling you, it's a bondage for people. And so Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him deny who? Himself, take up his cross. How often? Daily, and follow me. You know, every day we got to say, Lord, I'm putting my ring on. I want to live for you. No sin. Not today. No attitude, no thought, no actions. I'm not going to live that way. And there's going to be challenges, and there's going to be time I mess up. But God, I need your forgiveness. And you know what? God doesn't kick us out. He doesn't divorce us. He loves us and cares for us even through it. And that should make us want to be more pure. Amen? Amen. That should make us want to be more pure. So we need to put off the old man. The second thing it says in verse 23, it says to be renewed in our minds. We'll talk about this more in later weeks, but we got to be renewed in our minds. And I'm going to tell you, friends, if we don't clean this up, we won't clean this up. What is on the inside will come out in the outside. You got to clean it up. You got to clean it up. If you got some things coming into your mind, we got to guard what comes into our minds. We got to guard it, don't we? And so I think some people just never get hot for God because they've been so hot in the world with stuff and hidden sins, secret sins. And what this does is says, God, I am at the point where I am finished with the old man. I don't want it anymore. I don't want the lust because I don't want the brokenness and I don't want to live against you. I don't want the covetousness. I don't want these wrong things in my life. It's not that I just don't want the consequences. I don't want the sin. And some of us have to say tonight, you know what, it's not that I don't want to just have the consequence. I don't want the sin in my life anymore. So if you want to change, if you want to get to the point where you put on that new man, the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't give it any room to fulfill the lust thereof. If you want to do that, it starts with a relationship with God, giving your life over to Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, He's the only one that will save. Jesus, the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If Jesus were standing here tonight and he looked at you and you said, Lord, am I a sinner? What would he say? Yes. And if you looked at him and said, Jesus, would you forgive me? What would he say?
Yes.
And if he were here and he said, I'll forgive you, just ask me. If you're not saved tonight, would you ask him? Yes. And do you know he commands you to ask him? Salvation is not something he invites you to. He commands you to do it. He says, be saved. Be saved. Trust in me. And to not trust in Jesus, you know what we're doing? We're keeping him out. I went up to a guy's house one night, knocked on the door, and it's cold outside. And he let me in, and I shared the gospel with him. And he said, no. He said, I don't want to take it. He said, I'm not saying no to Jesus. I'm just not saying yes. I said, I came up to your house tonight. I said, I knocked on your door. And I said, and it was cold. And I said, you're a very polite man. I said, and you let me in. I said, but when Jesus comes and knocks on your heart door, you either let him in or keep him out. Don't pacify yourself. Don't think you're giving God props and saying, I honor you, God, while you're leaving him out in the cold. Does that make sense? Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, open it up. Listen, what offends God is when we say no. It's not when we say yes. Your sin and my sin is not the greatest offense. The greatest sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is when the Holy Spirit convicts us and we say no. That's the unpardonable, unforgivable sin, because that's saying, I'm not going to accept you. And tonight, if you're here and you say, you know what, I've not accepted Christ, you need to do that tonight. The Bible says, don't harden your heart. While you hear his voice, don't harden it, because he can give you over to the hardness of your own heart to where you don't hear that anymore. And there's people that gotten so hardened, they got so used to hearing the gospel over and over again, they said, no, no, no. Finally, God said, you don't want me? You're not going to have me. And he just turns them over to their own life. And so tonight, trust in Christ. If you're here tonight and you say, man, I got some stuff in my life I need to turn over to God, we got an altar down here. Get on your knees and say, God, I'm ready to give it all up to you. These hidden things in my life, these secret things, these things in my life that I know are clear, they're not even secret. I just need to turn them over to you, and I'm going to do that tonight. If you would stand with me tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed and